In the debate in the legislature. So I will deliver my closing arguments first, and then the House will go second and the Senate will go third, and we'll see what happens. So, ladies and gentlemen of the public opinion jury, I like Judd Matheny, and I hate nearly every argument that begins this way, but I really do like Judd Matheny, the Republican Tennessee representative from Tullahoma, former soldier, former cop, leader of the House Conservative Caucus. I like his politics most of the time, his personality, and his obvious love of country and Constitution. So it is out of the most genuine brotherly love that I ask him and other members of the Conservative Caucus to reconsider whether the features of the plan they support to pay for the $10 billion backlog of state transportation projects really are conservative. The competition in the legislature now is between the amended Haslam plan, the so-called Improve Act, and the Harwell-Hawk plan, which would move sales tax revenue from the sale of cars and trucks from the general fund to the transportation fund. Is it conservative to solve revenue shortfalls by taxing the rich? Now, the rich certainly buy the most expensive cars, but they don't necessarily drive more on our roads and bridges. In fact, the second richest group, the elderly, use the roads at the least, but buy among the most expensive cars. So the HH plan puts the most disproportionate burden on the elderly rich. A sharp venture away from the conservative idea of everyone paying his or her own way, the idea of personal responsibility. Is it conservative to stray from that work ethic principle of paying one's own way through a user fee instead of a tax wherever possible? To maintain the relationship between how much you use and what you pay rather than how rich you are and how much you pay. Even if you stray only slightly, is that conservative, if unnecessary? Has conservative come to mean that you'll protect your constituents from a price increase even if the price increase is merited? Has conservative taken on such a monolithic tone that the primary goal of conservative lawmakers is to find a way to avoid any tax increase, even one that's part of a net tax cut, at the expense of all other goals grounded in the same set of principles? What is conservative about burdening overburdened highways and bridges with the need to compete with every competing interest represented in the general side of the budget? See, I see the transportation budget as that place in Atlas Shrugged where the productive people eventually go to avoid the socialist influence of redistributionism. If there were a sequel to Atlas Shrugged, all of those productive people who followed John Galt would live in a society that may well have government services, but the cost would be divvied up according to the amount each person uses them. Libertarians don't reject all collective responsibility, but we reject government-forced redistribution for the same reason that slaves have always objected to the forced use of their labor for the benefit of others. The HH plan creates a revenue pipeline that connects the now disconnected transportation budget, funded mainly by user fees charged at the gas pump, to the redistributionist world of the general fund, where highly funded and organized packs of predators and scavengers fight for revenue subject to the volatility of business cycles. The Harwell-Hawk plan creates a pipeline from that chaotic chatter of volatile general funding, which has gone in the short 10 years I've been in Nashville, from a recession-caused deficit, which prompted then-Governor Bredesen to borrow from the less volatile transportation fund, and which Governor Haslam has been methodically paying back, to now, when the general fund is producing a $1 billion surplus. Granted, it's a small proposed pipeline, but small revenue pipelines, once the justification for them is established, can become larger. And in no time at all, transportation becomes just another hog. I do my own sound effects sometimes. Fighting for slop at the general revenue trough, which is sometimes overflowing, sometimes not. What is conservative about turning down a cut in the taxes that fund the chaotic side of that budget? Maybe in Washington, a tax cut means nothing. They just keep on spending as if nothing ever happened. But in Tennessee, a tax cut means one of two things. One, the tax cut reduces revenue, which will act as a ceiling on general revenue spending, because unlike Washington, we can't deficit spend. Or two, it generates economic growth, which expands prosperity and revenues that will be necessary to meet the expanded demand for government services. In boom times, like now, it's good to lower that general revenue ceiling to limit the food source and thus the future appetites of the general revenue predators and scavengers. We the people have demanded and received more and better highways in Tennessee than most of the nation. All of the evidence and logic leads nearly all lawmakers to believe that the combination of better fuel efficiency and a static user fee, the gas and diesel tax, has led to a shortage of funds to meet, continue to meet that promise. Unlike any other tax, the gas and diesel tax does not increase with inflation. Lawmakers have to increase it to continue to depend on it. They hate to do that. They haven't for 28 years and have still, miraculously, produced among the most and best highways in the nation. Now, as we enjoy an unprecedented spike in general revenue, the highway chicken has come home to roost. The mild recovery and unprecedented state tax cuts on wealth united to fulfill any governor's general revenue wildest dream. Enough revenue to pay his predecessor's recession debt, refill the state savings account, give schools an unprecedented funding increase, create a fund and plan to give everyone 2 years of free higher education, and build a public approval rating that puts him in the top 10 governors in the United States. Now, no one argued more forcefully and consistently against Governor Haslam's plan to accept and spend Obamacare expanded Medicaid money in Tennessee than I. I believe Governor Haslam is on the wrong side of the debate over in-state, or as I call it, Tennessee taxpayer-subsidized tuition for illegal immigrant students. I have no interest one way or the other in Governor Haslam's public future, but I cannot deny I admire his swan song, spending all of his remaining political capital on a gas tax increase. For many, the only thing they need to know is that Judd and his allies oppose it. Governor Haslam supports it. So what's there to talk about? Judd knows what there is to talk about. I like Judd, not just because he's an Army veteran, police officer, and patriot who hosted one of my favorite Second Amendment stops, by the way. Yay, Manchester! But because even though his political world is pretty black and white and mine is more gray, we are brothers and we'll fight like brothers with respect. Judd has seemed to have emerged as a new leader of the conservative opposition to a variety of issues. I couldn't be more thrilled about that. This will hopefully bury Jerry Sexton in the graveyard of political one-hit blunders. Now, in the interest of transparency, I'm going to end this argument. I've already forwarded to Judd in advance. I can and see if I can find a House member to substitute for me in the House debate next week against Speaker Harwell and Mr. Hawk and Matheny. To be clear, the amended Haslam plan is still, in my opinion, by far the most conservative plan on the table to increase funding for transportation in Tennessee. 7:15, Nashville Morning News. Jump in if you want, 737-9986. Email Ralph at 997WTN.com.
Later this morning on the Michael DelGiorno Show. Too much.